I'm not sure what's that line in that song. Baby, it's cold outside. It's going to get a lot colder the next couple of days, but it's going to get hot here this morning on The Weber Show. A guy that has been at the forefront of fairness regarding taxation, Brad Jones, joins us for the full show this morning, talking about his undying effort to make it fair for everybody in this wonderful county called Seneca, as far as taxes go and as far as it relates to the Cayuga Indian Nation. Welcome, everybody, on a Monday morning, the 5th of January, 2015. Belated Happy New Year to you folks that are checking me out this morning along with Brad Jones. We certainly hope that you had a great holiday season. Nothing major as far as weather is concerned. We're looking at really cold weather next couple of days. On Wednesday especially, I think it's going to be a high of 6 or 7, but it's not a major storm, so I can deal with that. Put on a couple more jackets. Hope you all had a good weekend and a lot to talk about this morning. Brad, first off, let me tell you that Brad and myself have been friends for a long, long time. Our families are very close, and we're looking forward to having a Super Bowl party in a few weeks as well to have some celebration on that. Brad, welcome to the show. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you, Harold, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
And Brad, of course, a lot of history involving Brad. He's certainly made the papers a lot the last several months. But Brad, let's start off by saying you certainly have been out front regarding the Cayuga Nation, the taxation issue, regarding their situation. I believe it's $1.7 million that is right now in the ledger of unpaid taxes. It seems to be growing and growing and growing. Give us your thoughts on what's going to happen, and is this ever going to end?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. You are correct. It's $1.7 million. You and I just received our county town tax bill that'll be due in another 30 days, and so that 1.7 will probably be 2 million come the end of April. But that's the situation today. Our good friend Chad Sanderson, town board member, the two of us had coffee about 3 or 4 weeks ago, just after the figures came out of 1.7 million. He said, "Brad, what is worst-case scenario for the town of Seneca Falls?" So we started doing some little pencil on the paper, math. We talked about the $1.7 million, which represents about 59 parcels of land the Cayugas have purchased to date, which represents about 1,100 acres in the town of Seneca Falls, which is about 7% of what the land claim consists of today. Worst case scenario, Chad Sanderson's question. As you know, the original land claim consists of 64,000 acres, and it's pretty much the horseshoe that starts over in Union Springs, goes up and around the top of Cayuga Lake, comes down town of Seneca Falls, touches the town of Varick. Out of that 64,000 acres, 20,000 acres are in the town of Seneca Falls. So if we have 1.7 million today for 1,100 acres, what will it be worst case scenario? It's not 2 million, it's not 5 million, it's not 10 million, it's not 20 million. It has the potential, and this is what I want to stress to the listener, the viewer today, it has the potential of being tens of millions. What is tens of millions? It's a lot more than what we're talking about today. I think the listener and the viewer also has to know game is over. The rulings have been made.
Right.
The judicial system has spoken.
Right.
So it's 1-7, but a very, very good chance. Maybe in our lifetime you and I will see close to 10 million, but in our children and our grandchildren, tens of million. Get ready.
Pretty amazing. Brad Jones, our special guest. And, of course, Brad, it's ironic timing is everything, because yesterday in the Finger Lakes Times, and we'll show this right now, certainly David Dresser made quite an article. He took issue with your stance regarding you have been a proponent of writing it off as a bad debt, all of this cash. Dresser, who you very well know, and he's very well schooled in Indian issues, indicated that he believes that if we were to write it as a bad debt, as you have been a proponent for, he thinks that the Indians will eventually put those 59 parcels or 60 parcels into the land of trust application. Thereby, once that has been given the trust, which we know will come someday, his feeling is, Brad, that we will end up getting the money, the penalties, the interest, and the back taxes. And he takes issue with you, and he references that he thinks your idea was a bad idea. And I want you to respond to David Dresser, because it just was issued yesterday. You made a comment last night when we were together about he's not an accountant. Talk a little bit about David Dresser's views.
Well, first of all, Dr. Dresser, I have the utmost respect for David. He's in the category with Rich Talcott, Rich Rickey. They know the history of what's going on. And I'm glad Dr. Dresser sent that letter in to the editor. Mm-hmm. Yes, as I mentioned to you, Dr. Dresser is not an accountant. Mm-hmm. Chairman Bob Heisen is not an accountant. Neither am I. Neither are you.
Right.
Actually, I sit on this couch today hoping that Dr. Dresser and Chairman Heisen are correct, mm-hmm. that it can sit out there in the balance sheet as a past due accounts receivable. All I'm requesting is for an outside auditor, a CPA, to come in, sit down with the treasurer, sit down with the county board, and say, accounts receivable?
Bad debt.
Bad debt. I hope I'm wrong, but I know enough about municipal accounting, GAAP accounting, that I think it's bad debt.
Okay, well, that's your view, and Brad Jones is our special guest. Let's move on. Accountability, I think you have been, my nickname's been Dog. I guess your name could be Mr. Accountability, because you used that term probably 700 times the last several months in various articles that you've written, and many of your comments have mentioned to many people who have been following this tragic road that we are currently on with the Indians and the unpaid scenario. But you talk about accountability. It's certainly no history unless you've been living under a rock. You made quite a name for yourself at the board meeting a few months ago when you were upset with the snafu involving the paperwork not getting filed correctly in time. You stood up, made some quite bold remarks, which is part of your style, sort of like mine as well. You indicated you wanted certain things done, people removed as far as, in your view, for not doing the job correctly. Your comments were taken a little bit over the top based on Mr. Heisen, the chairman. You were terminated from your Indian Affairs Committee role. You and him are continuing to be friends, Bob Heisen. Now, where's the accountability right now? Where do you see it standing as right now, January the 5th?
Well, accountability is nothing new. Mm-hmm. You and I remember our days at ITT Ghoul's Pumps.
Sure do.
In corporate America, in your position, you were held accountable to get orders.
Yeah.
I was held accountable to ship.
That's right.
And if we didn't do it, there was a guy that could take our place.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. And that's true today, whether it's corporate America, schools, small businesses. Look what's going on in the NFL. Everybody's being held accountable. Accountability is key, and it probably goes back to what I had just mentioned. Tens of millions of dollars, the potential of what the taxpayer is going to have to pay for the mistake that outside legal counsel made. Now, it's interesting. Today, being January 5th, is 60 days. It was back on November 5th, 2 months ago, 60 days, that Harris Beach informed the Seneca County Board of Supervisors that they failed to file. Now, let me ask you about accountability as a taxpayer. And that's who I'm here for, as
right.
a taxpayer. I'm no longer on the Indian Affairs, but I only have one horse in the game, mm-hmm. and that's the taxpayer. And I think the taxpayer wants accountability. 60 days, what have you heard about Harris Beach? What have you heard about anybody saying, well, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Now, there's an organizational meeting tomorrow. I guess my wish would be, you know, maybe there'd be some changes. Just to hold people accountable, but that's not my call. But 60 days, Harris Beach, nothing's been done. I'll leave it at that for the taxpayer.
Well, Brad Jones, telling it the way it is, and that's why he's our special guest this morning, talking about many issues obviously involving accountability and taxation and trying to be fair relative to what's going on. Of course, Brad did sit on that committee and no longer does, but he's still actively involved, attending meetings. And by the way, we'll have to see what happens as far as the new chairmanship. Will Bob Eisen retain that title or that role? I certainly... I had my issues with Bob several months ago, writing some letters and taking quite a shot at Bob on several occasions. But I have kind of turned the tide relative to my feeling about Bob. And I'll put it out there now. I'm in favor of him retaining that chairmanship. I don't have a vote in the matter. I think Bob, in this Lago scenario, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, I think he was certainly instrumental, Brad, from the get-go.
Yes, he was.
And I did not give him enough credit for that. I think he should play out the role and give the term for 2015. As a matter of fact, let's throw another year on top. I think he should be at the grand opening in 2016 since he was involved from the get-go. And I think you should give that type of an individual the ability to see it all the way through. Yes, you see bulldozers now down in that land. But when we see the beautiful Lago Casino constructed, I think Bob should be there and getting the credit that he deserves. That's not my call. It'll be up to the Republicans and Democrats of our Seneca County Board of Supervisors to sort all that out. And that'll be done, what, tomorrow night?
I believe it is tomorrow night.
So, just throwing my vote in, which means nothing because I don't have a vote in the matter, but certainly I think Bob deserves at least another term, maybe two, to roll it out and go right to the end. And then, of course, change chairs and let somebody else do it. Well, you talking about wish lists, we talk about, Brad, everybody has New Year's resolutions. Most of us get rid of it one day after it starts. As you look at 2015, before we take our break, what's your number one wish going to be for this year?
Oh, pretty good question. But you know me, I like to negotiate. Can I have two wishes?
Sure.
Even though I said game over, mm-hmm. even though I said tens of millions of dollars potential hit to the taxpayer. I think it's game over with the judicial system. Mm-hmm. I think it's game over with our federal officials. But our good friend, State Senator Michael Nozzolio, he has tried his best the last 3 to 4 years, and he's done it on an annual basis, to submit a bill into the New York State legislature to come up with a definition of a qualified reservation. Mm-hmm. I think Dr. Dresser, Rich Talcott, Rich Rickey, Russ Wheeler, everybody that works hard day in and day out would back me in that request, because if we could get that bill into committee, which Mike has done so diligently each and every year, but the task this year is to get it out of committee and voted on to become a law. Mm. And everything that we're talking about this morning may go away. That wish is a big wish of mine and others. So I ask you, Senator Nozzolio, if you're listening today, give it one more hit for the taxpayers here in Seneca County. Second wish, I do have a second wish, because I really think the game is over. And I'm not trying to talk both sides of my mouth, but if that's the case, and I didn't think it would be me to ever say this, but I think it may be time to reach out to people like Clint Halftown, B.J. Rafford, heavily involved with the Heron, mm-hmm. People like Carl Hill, heading up the Unity Council, also a Heron member, Justin Bennett, a Turtle Clan member. My dad used to always say, something's better than nothing. Maybe we can sit down, and I'm not saying that the taxpayers or the listeners that we negotiate mm-hmm. and we settle, but maybe we can come up with a common bond where the Cayuga Nation could make some sort of covenant payment. We've talked about it in the past. They don't like the word tax, and it is over. We can't collect taxes, so maybe a covenant payment. Maybe something for infrastructure needs. But I think it may be just time if you, mm-hmm. Finger Lakes, one, myself, can get the two sides to start talking, it may be a plus. Because tens of millions versus nothing, maybe something in between for the taxpayer.
Ironically, before we take our break, years ago, Pete Same was involved, and there was talk of a settlement, and I believe it was $10 or $12 million thrown around the table, if I'm incorrect in that amount. I'm sure you'll correct me after the show. And there was an opportunity at that point to sit down and take them at their word that the checks would be sent out every year to us. That never happened. And as you think back on it, what would it be like today if we did take that deal? You know, yeah. Hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah, and it's a hard one to answer.
It is.
Settlement, negotiation.
Oh, I agree.
I'm just saying maybe create a common bond.
Right.
The Cayuga Nations are our neighbors. They're good people. Maybe it's time. Once again, something's better than nothing.
This is Weber This Week on a Monday, the 5th of January. Brad Jones talking Cayuga Indian Nation, fairness to our taxpayers, which is all of us, obviously. So we'll continue our dialogue. We'll take our break, talk a little bit about sports, and go back to Brad. You're listening or checking out Weber This Week. We'll be back. Cayuga Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquors, Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice. Proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, in Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com, awesome 18-hole layout, offering a 12-month payment plan. Wilson Press, WPress.com, Seneca Falls, Rich Rickey, my good friend and his team, can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. This week on a Monday morning, a little chilly on January 5th, Brad Jones, our special guest this morning, fighting for the taxation fairness across the board. We'll talk to Brad in a couple more minutes. As we always do, we like to just chime on a couple of items in regards to the world of sports. Jimmy, your alma mater, Syracuse, makes everything interesting, up by 17-18, coasting to victory, and all of a sudden, the kid has a three-pointer to beat him. What's up with the Orange? They just can't seem to put their foot on the collar, on the neck. Just end him. Up 17, it looks like this game is over.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's like a killer instinct thing, but there was a tale of two halves. The first half, you thought, oh, this is how they're supposed to play. This is going to be great.
Right.
And now we finally got it all together. And then before you can blink, the second half's the exact opposite. And it was against not a very good team.
No, I know.
And not a very difficult place to play. Yeah. And we had a 19-point lead. And they had a wide-open three-pointer at the buzzer to beat us, and luckily they missed. But
amazing.
But, yeah, so now they go to Georgia Tech Wednesday, Florida State at the Dome on Sunday, and they could lose both of those games.
Well, let's talk about football. Nothing better than watching playoff football. I had a chance, and along with Brad, we had a chance to watch some interesting game last night. How about them Cowboys? The call of the century, of course, made on the was it pass interference, was it not? The flag gets thrown. That was obviously a key play in that game. Are you serious? And, of course, they reversed themselves, said it was face guarding, which is not illegal in the NFL.
When's the last time you ever seen a pass interference call, like flag
reversed.
Thrown and picked up?
Never.
Reversed. Never. So
never.
It happens in this game for
amazing.
The Cowboys.
Amazing. And, of course, Brad and myself were playing a little poker last night, and we were all shocked. And some of the anti-Dallas fans were enjoying it because they figured Detroit would be in position to win that game. I have to admit, I've watched football a long time. I never saw it get picked up again. Again, face guarding, I think that's a term, is illegal in the college game, but legal in the NFL. Okay, that was a major. Then it's 4th-and-1. Detroit tries to get Dallas to come off sides. They kick. Was that a mistake? Should they have gone for it? Who knows? Dallas goes down, scores the winning touchdown, and as you know, Brad, it was Shock City. Amazing.
It was Shock City, and like Jim said, what is facing? They saved that for the last night.
I know. And by the way, folks, you don't get any better than this. Of course, let's talk about a couple of things that was hilarious. Arizona Cardinals, of course. Yes, 49 years, our 49th Super Bowl coming up in about 4 weeks. Arizona with a chance to be the first team ever to be at the Super Bowl as a home team. Not going to happen. Is that Lindley guy, the quarterback, third-string quarterback? Oh, my God. 77 yards of total offense. 77 yards of total offense. That, by the way, is an historical mark in futility. That is amazing. And, of course, Doug Marrone leaving the Bills shocked City. A lot of the Bills fans were amazed. He was unhappy with management's decision. Didn't like to trade for Sammy Watkins, which blows me away because I think, and I've been a Bills non-believer for 50-some years, he didn't like the move to give that much to Cleveland for getting the rights to bring in Sammy Watkins, who I think Brad's one of their best players.
Oh, no.
But they
doubt.
Gave up a lot to get him.
Yeah.
He didn't like the fact that he can't control the whole roster. He didn't like the fact that Pegula family was not going to give extended contracts to his assistant coaches at this time, so he bolts. Pretty amazing. So, and then, of course, we get the word on Kyle Orton, I should say. He says, I'm going home. I'm going home with the family and the kids. Yeah. So where does that leave Buffalo? I think the Mears boys were in here. I can always go, Jimmy, now without a quarterback, they're going to go to EJ.
I think Marrone, at the end of the day, said he's going to do what's best for him, and I think he looked at the situation and doesn't have a lot of confidence in E.J. Manuel the same way he probably looked at the situation when he left Syracuse with losing, you know, Ryan Nassib. He's opportunistic. He gets paid $4 million from Buffalo for leaving.
Nice.
And, you know, a lot of times with the sports stuff, we get really mad at some people for some of these moves they make. But if you were them and you looked at all the options and facts, and you'd probably do the same thing.
And by the way, New England, of course, upcoming games this weekend, New England, Baltimore. New England, early 7.5-point favorite, according to Las Vegas. And they don't make these lines for fun, folks. They don't build those new casinos out there for their looks. They don't do it on winners. New England, 7.5-point favorite against Baltimore. A little high in my judgment. Seattle crushed City against Carolina, 11-point favorite. Seattle to dominate, according to Vegas. Carolina favored by 11. Packers-Dallas should be a great game. Green Bay, 6.5-point early line favorite against the Cowboys. And Denver, 7-point favorite against Indianapolis. High school basketball coverage here on Finger Lakes 1 resumes tomorrow night. I'll have the opportunity doing the play-by-play with my buddy Mike Alessio. We'll be on air about 7:20. Midlake's having a tough year. We'll be in the Arthur L. Baker Gymnasium. We hope that you'll check us out. If you want to sit home with an Afghan wrapped around you because it's a little chilly, check us out on Finger Lakes 1. And then, of course, on Friday night, our next broadcast after tomorrow night will be Geneva coming to Waterloo, and Brendan Harrington, along with Kevin Korzeneski, will have that call. Our continuing coverage of high school basketball.
Doug, I just wanted to mention, if you want to go back and check out, any of the listeners want to go back and check out the game from Friday in Lions, Red Creek
excellent.
And Lions, it was a great broadcast, but mainly because it's such a great atmosphere. First game we've ever done from the Atwood Gym, and it was a close game and a lot of hustle from both sides and a full house, and it was really the reason why we do these games. That's why. That was like almost the pinnacle, maybe.
Well, I've been with you 3 or 4 years doing a lot of play-by-play, and all the years I used to do it on radio, that was the best broadcast, the best high-definition. It was phenomenal. I sat home and watched it on my computer. It was amazing. So check it out if you didn't get a chance. Lions, Clyde, Savannah, arch rival, Hatfield, McCoys. It was everything that it was cranked up to be.
Yeah, well, compliments to Finger Lakes 1, Jim. It's something great for the communities here in Seneca County, actually Wayne and Ontario, because there's a lot of grandparents and older people that can't get out for the games. And talk about high definition. That was
good.
You were at the top of your game.
And that's actually just one quick thing on the game. The numbers were in. 387 people watched it live.
That's amazing.
And
good
since news. Then, over 1,400 have watched it on demand. So that's, almost 1,800 in 48 hours.
That's amazing. All right, Brad, we're back to Brad Jones. Of course, Brad, let's move on with a couple more questions that I had in mind relative to the 1.7 of $1 million, maybe going to $2 million. Lago, a $425 million complex going to be built as the bulldozers are down there moving some dirt. Why would not we think that Seneca County citizens like myself and you should think that maybe Lago would just sit down and write a check and take care of it all for us? Why is that so out of the question? They're going to have certainly the revenue.
Well, you're not the first person that's asked that question. Matter of fact, I was asked a similar question just this past weekend about with the flow of tax revenue into the county because of Lago's success, could that offset the $1.7 million? Mm-hmm. On year one, yes, but what I want to stress today to the taxpayers and residents is I've already made reference to tens of millions, and I've already made reference that the game is over. So that thermometer is just going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. Lago, I think it's a great win for Seneca County. Many pluses. Want to be the first one to say thanks to Bob Heisen mm-hmm. and the full board of supervisors. They all did a great job. But that's not a guarantee. That side, the revenue, is only if Lago is successful. And if Lago is successful, we may be talking $1, $2, $3 million coming in. So, yeah, it would help maybe on year one. But where we're going with this situation where we cannot foreclose against the Cougars, that could be 20,000 acres in the town of Seneca Falls, mm-hmm. It's like night and day.
The other thing is we're talking about balancing the county budget with the tax revenues.
Yeah.
But what about the idea of the fact that this is just inequality? If I open up a business next door to a Cuga Nation property where they're not paying, I'm at an unfair disadvantage.
Right.
And so then it just lets them continue to be able to make more money than someone else operating the same type of business, and they buy more property and get stronger. And, it's nothing personal against the Cuga Indian people. It's just inequality, and in this day and age, you kind of think that stuff would be in our past, but right here in Seneca County, inequality apparently alive and well in terms of who can pay taxes and who doesn't have to pay taxes.
It's funny, Brad, you mentioned too about a tit for a tat. You know, Ray Halbreder, the head of the Oneidas, it didn't take him long when Lago got announced that was coming to Seneca County to make another move on their behalf. The Wizard of Oz, Chit and Angle, opening up in spring, $20 million investment, going to be a casino, lots of slot machines, hotel, restaurant. I found that kind of hilarious because you got to give him credit for one thing. He doesn't wait around to make his next move. And as Jim had just pointed out, the unfairness, with all due respect to the Oneidas and Ray Halbreder, is the fact that he doesn't have to go to the town and get permits. He doesn't have to do anything. He just start building because he's on reservation land. It's amazing to me the unfairness there, that what Lago had to go through and what they will go through to get all the various documents necessary to construct this complex. Ray Halbreder, on the other hand, just says, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to open up in the spring, and it's going to be a $20 million investment, Jimmy, in it. Just yeah. A little bit of a flashback to the Lago coming to Seneca County.
Well, I think with what you and Jim have sharing with me is really coming from your heart.
Yeah.
And that's really where it's been coming from me for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, from the heart. But I'm here today to tell the taxpayer, game over.
Mm-hmm.
You may get some politicians saying, well, we're going to go down this avenue, or we're going to go down this avenue. Yeah.
Supreme Court filing. Game over.
Yeah. And nobody's being held accountable. I'm talking tens of millions of dollars. And you talk about building codes, building permits. I mean, we see what's going on right here at Lakeside. I mean, it just doesn't look good, but that's from our heart. So I'm saying let's take a reality check, reaching out and try to do something as a common group, a common bond. I remember the days when I was growing up, I couldn't wait for that first trip to Atlantic City because that was the closest casino.
Now they're your
point about the Oneidas, I mean, you and I could go up and down the thruway in the next couple of years and probably stop at 5 or 6 of them. So saturation could be a problem.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I have no problem with Bob Shipley. I like the guy. When I heard after we lost the filing date, the deadline, and that he made a comment at the board meeting that he was going to get his good friend Tom Reed and some of our congressmen and senators together and determine, hey, got to help us. New York State, help us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. Opinions are like noses. We all have them. There are bills sitting on desk in Washington, has been there for 7 months, to give our military a raise. And nothing's happened. Our military, who gives their lives for us every day, and they can't even get that out to get voted on. And we should be giving our folks that save our lives or protect our lives every single day of our life a raise. They can't even get that elevated for a vote because there's so much, I don't want to get along with them, Boehner and McConnell, and you got Obama. It's a joke. What are the chances of them worrying about us? Our Congress, really think about it, in the matter of big picture, our little picture, Would you think those folks down in Washington care less about us?
Well, especially when we're going against, you know, when the opponent in this issue are Indians.
Right.
Which, from if you don't live under the, you know, influence of the benefits that they're reaping by not paying taxes, it looks like the, you know, the white man is battling against the Indians who had their land stolen so many hundreds of years ago. And it really isn't about that at all. It's about inequality and... but it's not a popular political, you know.
It's just ludicrous to think that the Congress would help us. They can't even help the military, which desperately could use a raise and help out the folks that help us.
To your point, and that's why I've lost faith in the federal representatives, it would be as easy for our congressmen, our U.S. senators, to just withhold funding to the BIA. They've said more than once, we can't make decisions for them. But boy, they can hold the funds. And I'm a proponent from day one that I firmly believe what we're talking about starts in Washington and goes full 360 back to Washington. So that's why I'm a betting man. That's why I'm going to bet on our state senator, Michael Nozzolio, on that one last wish. If not, it's going to be a long road. And I didn't want to say it, but something's better than nothing. We probably should sit down. Hold hands, because the Cougars are good people. This isn't about the Cougar members. This is about, here I go again, lawyers, lawyers, lawyers.
Yeah, we only could be born again and become a lawyer. Well, Brad Jones, of course, he's not going anywhere. He lives in Seneca County. Him and his son have a nice business. Family has a nice business down in Lockport. I don't see you, Brad, jumping off the saddle. You're still going to be involved. You're still going to be very outspoken about issues that affect us, and I don't think that's going to wane as we go on.
No, and somebody asked me the other day, why do you stay involved in this? You don't have a horse in the game. And I said, my horse is the taxpayer. No, I'm not on a committee any longer, but I'll be the first to get the figures. I'll be the first to say catchphrases like tens of millions, because I don't know what it is. Politicians today are just kind of looking at current state. I think the discussion today is to look at not just current state, but 5 years, 10 years, what our kids are going to see. It's not a good situation.
It isn't. Well, thanks a lot for carving some time out for us this morning.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Brad Jones joining us this morning on the Weber Show. By the way, we'll have him back in several months to talk about what's been happening, if anything, to improve our situation here. By the way, a reminder, next week's guest, a friend of ours as well, Sal Franzone joins us, the owner of Ticino's. I remember when it started. I can't wait to talk to Sal about that. He's got an operation in Geneva. They're doing very well. Got a great staff, great food. Sal Franzone, the owner of Ticino's, will be our guest on the couch next week. And then on the 19th, Cindy Lorenzetti, speaking of Board of Supervisory members, and they're always good to have the tandem back, Steve Churchill and Cindy Lorenzetti will be on the couch on the 19th. And then Mrs. New York, yes, Jessica Lahr out of Geneva will be on the guest. We're entitling that show The Beauty and the Beast. Let me guess who the beauty will be and the beast. That'll be fun. And then, of course, on the 2nd of February, day after Super Bowl, Joe and Kelly Cosentino, the owners of Blossoms by Cosentino across the street, nice flower operation. We'll talk about their business. And ironically, it'll be a couple weeks before their busiest day of the year, being Valentine's Day. Don't forget your loved one. All right, folks, have a good one. Join us tomorrow night for high school basketball here on Finger Lakes One as yours truly will be calling the play-by-play along with Mike Alessio, the Hunt Brothers, Jimmy Senecropi. We'll all be at Minders Academy, Arthur L. Baker Gymnasium for Mid-Lakes Minders Basketball tomorrow night. Airtime about 7:20. Take care, everybody. Thanks again to Brad Jones. We'll catch you next week. That's Weber This Week, my way.
FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1. FingerLakes1.com.